Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Oh, get ready for another hot one. It's going to be up to 94 degrees today. The winds are out of the east, around 15 miles an hour. Thankfully, some scattered showers in the morning, mainly windward and Mauka, mostly sunny. Yesterday, the UV was 12, so put on sunscreen. You're going to be playing a round of golf. We can get out early, hopefully. There's an 836 at Makalei, 830 at Poipu. There's a 850 at Volcano. It's 56 degrees. That's the place to be. Kapolei has a 9 o'clock. Rohawaiian Country Club an 8:30. Kahili on Maui has an 8:30. Wailea a 9:18 on the Gold. A 10:26 on the Emerald course. But reapply that sunscreen. It's going to be really a scorcher today. We've got a great show for you today. Peter Kessler is joining us. Claude Brousseau from Maui School of Golf. John Peter Hagen, he's at Pebble Beach giving us the insight. Do you realize that 500,000 people go to the U.S. Open and there's one road in and one road out? And Steve DiMeglio, he's going to wrap up the show, Golf Writer with Golf Week and USA Today. But before we get into it, of course, we've got some things to give away for Father's Day, including Bridgestone E12s, a soft golf ball is about more distance. It's a three-piece Sirlin-covered ball featuring Bridgestone's gradational compression core. So when I tell you to dial in the number, you could be the winner. We'll be back with Peter Kessler after we thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And so let's bring into the clubhouse Peter Kessler. You remember him, voice of golf on HBO Sports, instrumental Golf Channel startup, did so many interviews with all the people in the world of golf as Golf Channel got started. It was called The Golf Channel back then. And Peter Kessler is on Twitter. You can follow him there at Peter Kessler, always with a very strong opinion about just about everything. And that's what we want to do today. Welcome into the clubhouse, Peter.
I'm delighted to be with you. Are you having a good morning?
Absolutely. It's a gorgeous day. It's going to get just a little toasty, about 94 degrees, which is pretty hot for us. That'll be pretty much along the shores. Rory McIlroy, inside the media room at Memorial, challenged the USGA to get the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach right this year. Of course, there was Chambers Bay. You know, the greens, they just opened it. I was there. I thought it was odd. They chose to go there just as they were building Chambers Bay. The greens were awful. Oakmont, there was that rules fiasco, but there's been rules fiascos for so long. It's almost the wide open Erin Hills bothered me. And of course, then there was the baked out Shinnecock. To me, in a way, the USGA's lost its identity. You know, I always think about Olympic Club and Webb Simpson winning Olympic Club when accuracy was, and anything off course was penalized. And then they went to these really wide fairways and things. But I'd like to your thoughts. Peter Kessler, what do you think about what Rory McIlroy said about the setup for this coming U.S. Open at Pebble Beach?
Well, it's the first interesting thing that he said in a long time. I mean, I don't want to hear about his girlfriend. I don't want to hear about his wedding plans. I don't want to know about his watch. I don't want to know about any of the stupid stuff. As regards the United States Golf Association, think of it this way, Danielle. Suppose you only did your radio show one time a year. How good would you be? Not very good. If you did it one out of 365 days, you wouldn't be very good at it. So apply that analogy to the USGA. The USGA essentially sets up really the one important golf course once a year, even though they've got 13 championships that they cover. But this is the important one. So you can't go out one time a year to a golf course that you don't know anything about, that you've never maintained, that you've never lived with, that know how it reacts to different weather and handling over the course of a full calendar year, and pretend to make decisions that are in the best interest of trying to stage the National Open. They don't really have anybody at the USGA who is trained in any of the things that you would need to be trained in to be able to do the work. Mike Davis, who runs it, is just a corporate guy. The guy he said who's going to set up the U.S. Open next week for the first time, John Bodenhamer, they share a desk. He's another corporate buffoon. They don't have anybody there who knows anything about it, who has any experience other than having done it 19 times in the last 19 years. They don't understand how it works. They don't understand how to set up a golf course. They don't understand that a great golf course for a major championship needs to be set up in such a way that it will yield to the brilliance of the best player in the field by letting him shoot one or two under per day, because he's the guy who's playing the best. So a score of 4-10 under per week for U.S. Open is actually an ideal score. If it's par, then the golf course was tricked up, because it means the guys couldn't play their game. So Rory's exactly right for a change, which is nice. And the USGA, if they do a Moronville setup next week, and Charlie Hoffman's leading by 6 with 9 to play, we're going to have some big issues.
Okay, I got to ask you, we're getting a lot of feedback. Is it possible that you might have something on in the background? Because I really want to hear you strong, and I'd like to take a commercial break and have you dial back in and see if we can't get a better connection. Because, you know, Mike Davis was
always... I can hear the feedback. I'm standing alone with my phone. There's no other program.
Yeah, well, we might get a better line. So we need to thank, you know, the people who make the show possible. They take care of the bills. They pay for the airtime. So we're going to come back with Peter Kessler, voice of golf on HBO Sports. And that was when everything was starting off at Golf Channel and the Golf Channel startup. He was instrumental in making it happen. You can follow Peter at Peter Kessler on Twitter. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
Power at your fingertips. Aloha, our equipment.
I just listed my home.
I hear first impressions matter.
My realtor said what they see first when they pull up sets the tone for the whole visit. Can you guess what Realtor.com said is the highest return on investment you can make?
No.
Your garage door.
Yes, since people see that first, and it makes your home stand out, you can have a beautiful home now, then get all your money back when you sell. It'll probably sell faster. Rainer Doors of Hawaii, 676-3667.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
This portion of the Golf Club is brought to you by Creative Plumbing. When your building's hot water system needs new life or a new high-rise system, new build or renovation, call Creative Plumbing, because it has to be done right.
Futuristone's master craftsmen can turn your townhouse complex driveway and sideway into beautiful self-draining areas, adding to the value of your project. Turn your concrete floors into colorful masterpieces with Futuristone. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And we're back in the clubhouse. Of course, Peter Kessler is with us. And Peter, Mike Davis did get a lot of accolades for the past work that he'd done setting up golf courses. Who would you have set up the Pebble Beach?
Who should set it up?
Yeah.
The superintendent of the golf course. That's who should always set it up. It's preposterous. I mean, you know, that's the only person who knows how to set it up. He sets it up 365 days a year. They have a staff of 40 or 50 people. You can't send a couple of bozos out from northern New Jersey to Pebble Beach, and they're going to tell them how to set up a golf course that they virtually have no knowledge of on a day-to-day basis. You always have the superintendent set it up, and you say to him, hey, remember that tournament we had a few months ago where we had some really good players and we set it up really tough but fair? That's what we'd like for the U.S. Open. Thank you very much. That should be the involvement of the USGA. They should not be allowed to be involved in any way whatsoever. They have no one who has the expertise. They have no one who has the experience. They have no one who has been trained. They have no one with the knowledge. They shouldn't have anything to do with it. You can't do something once a year and be good at it.
To me, it lost its identity. I don't know what happened. I thought they did a good job in the past, but maybe. Did you notice a change at some point?
Do I notice what?
Did you notice a change in the USGA setup? It seemed, as Rory McIlroy said, it seems to have lost its identity recently.
Well, I mean, you know, look, if you played it at the same place every year like you play the Masters at Augusta National, then you can tweak that course every year because now you have new information and you see that maybe short irons were used too frequently into a particular hole where they would have preferred mid-iron. So because they're Augusta National, they buy the town and then they extend the tees. Well, other courses don't have that luxury, and the USGA doesn't have that luxury of going back to a place that they're relatively familiar with. So, yes, the identity has completely changed. It used to be the fairways were reasonably wide, but not too wide and not too narrow. They were just right, you know, 33 yards kind of thing in the landing areas. And the bunkers were not in the fairways. They were off to the side. And the rough was such generally that you could advance the ball, but not successfully all the way to the green. So for sure, that deep rough used to cost you a half shot. The green should be firm, but the ball shouldn't bounce once and go over the back, because that's not anything. That's just a hitting onto a piece of concrete. So you really have to know the golf course so well to know how much water it needs and how much sun it gets and what the reaction is and how the fog affects it and how the cold weather affects it. And if you don't have that knowledge from working on the golf course for years and years, well, you're just simply guessing.
Yep.
It's just like being totally unprepared. So, yes, Mike Davis tried to do something with graduated rough where the further offline you were, the worse the shape that you were in. It made sense philosophically, but it didn't make any sense from a practical point of view, because the grass that he wanted to be the longest was the grass being trampled down by the spectators. So that's just another example of somebody who doesn't really have any knowledge of the subject in any detail whatsoever, making decisions that affect the national championship. I mean, let's just, you know, instead of going all the way back through history, you can just start at 1998 at the Olympic Club. You know, that pin on 18 that may have cost Payne Stewart the championship the year before he won at Pinehurst, that was a really bad setup. Then flash forward to maybe Marion in 2013 when Justin Rose won. That was the worst tricked up, manipulated piece of garbage I've seen in a long time. That was not Marion. It had nothing to do with the original golf course. It was just stupid stuff designed to make the guys shoot par. You shouldn't have a target score. You just let them play. And the course must yield to brilliance of the best player. Nobody wants to see double bogeys when you hit a 9-iron into the middle of a green at Pebble Beach and have it bounce over to the green and then you can't find it. The greens at Pebble Beach are 3,500 square feet. The average size green on the PGA Tour is 7,500 square feet, which means on the PGA Tour they have some greens that are 12,000 square feet or almost four times larger than Pebble. The greens have to be receptive. Now, that doesn't mean the ball has to stop and suck back, but it has to accept a well-received, purely struck shot. If it doesn't, I'll go out and personally take Mike Davis out in the middle of the ocean, drop him off halfway between here and Hawaii, because this has just gotten to the point where it's sheer insanity. And every decision they make is terrible. All these new rules, drop from your knees, now there's no more hazards, now you can ground your club anywhere, now you can just take a free drop in the middle of the fairway. It's stupid stuff. They don't do their homework. They don't check with anybody. They don't do any surveys. They don't do any testing. It's all a bunch of money-grubbing guys sitting in New Jersey counting up the spoils. They got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars from Fox, who knows less about golf than the guy who fixes your garage door. And now they don't know where the money is. So now they're in financial trouble, even though they have no expenses and they've taken in $1 billion. The whole thing is a disaster. And the whole thing should be closed down.
Interesting. I mean, I can't disagree with you on the point of having the superintendent be involved. The guy knows the course. Why isn't he involved in setting up the course and making it a good challenge and let the guys play? There was a rumor that some of the players were considering boycotting the U.S. Open because of past problems. Interesting when he says if they don't get it right this time, there will be repercussions. What could the players do?
First of all, they could say we've had enough. Second of all, they could send up a really good representation up to the United States Golf Association in New Jersey if they're not all playing golf, because I can't figure out what work they attend to. What are they actually doing? They took them 7 years to make up 10 stupid rules that not one person follows. So what else are they doing? What else are they doing? They have the one golf course to set up. So next year, 2020, that's Wingfoot, right?
Yeah.
I could set that up. I played Wingfoot 150 times. I used to live 10 minutes away. You have to let the superintendent set it up. He's the only one who knows how to do it. You know, the idea of Mike Davis showing up is just sheer insanity. It's, you know, like having Bozo the Clown man your spaceship to Mars, but he's never been on it. None of it makes sense, not on any level whatsoever. So if they screw up Pebble, which they will in some way, though there's going to be some problems in their desire to protect score. But Wingfoot, you know, Bobby Jones won Wingfoot 90 years ago in 1929 at the U.S. Open there. And actually started double par double and ended up still shooting in the 60s that day because he made five threes in a row in the middle of the round. But the course really hasn't changed much since 1929. Gil Hans came in, did a few things. I wasn't crazy about him, quite frankly, and usually I like everything Gil does. But I think that he did some things to the greens that he shouldn't have done that were ego-driven. Yeah, some of the bunker rearrangements are a little faulty. But they let him do what he wanted to do, and he's very, very popular, and he's got his hands in every classic course in the Northeast. But that one, I thought all the changes were ill-advised. He put a lot of false fronts in on the East course. But, you know, Wingfoot's a nothing. All they're supposed to do at Wingfoot is the same thing they do at the old course at St. Louis for the Open. You just have the touring pros on the first tee. That's it. You don't change anything at all. You make the green super fast, but not too fast so the balls can't be controlled. You don't want to have to be defensive on every putt. You want to be able to roll the ball to the hole. You know, and in past Opens, they've been able to, despite the difficulty of Wingfoot, except for 1974 when they had an overreaction of Johnny Miller shooting, you know, 8-under at Oakmont the year before in 73. They made the Wingfoot way too hard in 74. A book was written about it called The Massacre at Wingfoot by Dick Schaap, which is a minute-by-minute accounting. And Hale Irwin won his first of three U.S. Opens by two shots over Forrest Fesler. And so, you know, seven over is a lot of over for the winner. You know, Jack was like 13 over. Jarny was like 16 over. I mean, it was really a bad setup. And pretty much they've gotten it wrong since then. And if they screw this up, there's going to be changes in who makes the decision next year.
Interesting. When you talk about the U.S. Open at Bethpage Black being where you've lost the system for some reason, can we take a break really quick and come back right after this? My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Remember when your car rolled off the showroom floor? Get that smooth-as-glass look and more at Detail Boulevard with a ceramic coating. Bring back or keep the shine. It keeps dirt from sticking and protects your car from the sun. 1351 South Baratania, just past KAMOKU on the Mackay side. We also do expert detailing and custom tinting. Detail Boulevard helps keep your ride smiling. You can even make an appointment online at detailblvd.com. Detail Boulevard, exceptional service.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close.
Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And Peter Kessler's in the clubhouse, voice of golf on HBO Sports is how you remember him. Also instrumental in the Golf Channel startup. You did some terrific interviews with so many different players and people who are instrumental in this game, Peter. I was asking what you'd like to talk about, and I just cracked up. Bryson DeChambeau and Jordan Spieth. Nutcases?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're in really big trouble right now because men's golf is in the worst shape it's been in, well, definitely in my lifetime. I'm 67 years old, and when I was 12 in 1964, actually on the day the Beatles came on Ed Sullivan, my 12th birthday, was the first time I started going to tournaments where I lived in the New York area, and I saw Arnold Wynn in his prime, I saw Jack Wynn. And that never changed, even though I wasn't on television until 1995 when I did 1,300 shows and put the Golf Channel on the map and had been the voice of HBO Sports previously. I never lost my interest in going to tournaments and getting to know golfers and playing golf. That was always sustained in my love and research of golf history. But what we have now is just sheer nonsense. It's the worst group, the most uninteresting group, the slowest group, the most boring group, the lowest energy group, the worst group of personalities, and the worst group of golfers at the top of the game than has ever been the case since I've been following golf for 55 years. It's just atrocious. You know, if you're going to be a great player, you have to do two things. You have to win a lot of majors, and you have to be in contention to win a lot of majors. So take a look at Jack Nicklaus, 1970 through 1980. 44 majors. He won 10. He finished second 8 times. He was only out of the top 10 3 or 4 or 5 times out of 44 chances. Not that that would interest him, but he wasn't unhappy with the 10 wins, and he wasn't super unhappy with the 8 second place finishes. That's what you call winning major championships and being in contention to win them. Tiger Woods won major championships, was always in contention to win them. He won 7 of 11 at one point. He won 4 in a row at one point. That's winning championships and being in a position to do so. There's only one player who's kind of doing that right now, and it's Brooks Koepka, and it's covered the last couple of years. And, you know, he's just won back-to-back PGAs and back-to-back U.S. Opens, and they're going to Pebble, and that'd be a very interesting course for him to be able to win at, because it's not set up for his, you know, the things that set him apart from other players, like his prodigious relative length and his relative accuracy is a super huge advantage, which is why the black at Bethpage was also a disastrous setup. They tried to set it up like the U.S. Open, but unfortunately the way they did it was that if you were super long, that you had a disproportionate advantage, mm-hmm. much more than any other time in the history of golf. And so, you know, in Jack Nicklaus's time, you know, driving length used to be sort of 20% of the game. You know, and then there was course management and putting and iron play and so forth. Now the power is 60 or 70% of the game, and they only use 5 or 6 clubs in their bag instead of the 14 that I use every time I play. So it's super uninteresting. Their personalities across the board are pretty awful. I mean, Brooks is the closest thing you've got to a great player. Obviously, Tiger has been one of the greatest ever, but we don't know what the deal is with him right now. You know, he sometimes he's Tiger-esque, and sometimes he's Pussycat-esque, and so you don't know which Tiger you're going to get when you used to know for sure which Tiger you're going to get. But right now, it's pretty bad. I mean, Ricky Fowler, he's just a marginal average player. There is nothing interesting about him at all, not on a personal level, not on a professional level. He does commercials for Rocket Mortgage. There's 0% chance he has a mortgage. He does commercials for an insurance company. There's a zero. They couldn't even let him speak a line. He was so bad. And I've done enough commercials and made enough things that I knew I could see watching the commercial that they literally wouldn't allow him to speak with the other actor in the part. There's no way he uses that company. So it's all a big nonsense. I don't care about his girlfriend. I don't want to see her butt jiggling. I don't want to see those camera shots of her walking with him after he's finished fifth and waits around to congratulate the good players who beat him every single time. So that's boring. Jordan's completely out of his mind. You know, he's a psycho case. I timed a few things last night. I timed Lee Trevino hitting an iron into number 12 at Augusta National 1 year. And from the time he put his fingers, his palm on the top of the iron in the bag and pulled it out and the ball landed on the green, 13 seconds went by. Fuzzy Zeller won the playoff in 79. He was the third guy to hit an 8-iron into a number 11 about 6 feet from the hole. 11 seconds transpired from when he selected the club to when impact was made. Jordan can't decide if he has to go to the bathroom in 3 or 4 minutes. I mean, his brain processes are atrocious. And it's unfair, and it's unfair to the field, and I hate all this we stuff. It's not we either. You did it or you didn't do it. You know, and Bryson DeChambeau saying that 2 and 3 minutes isn't enough time because he factors in other things. I like to factor him right out of the golf game and get him a job done. There's another business where I don't ever have to see him again. I'm not a good golfer. I still break 80, and I've shot in the mid-60s when I was good. I've been a club champion at La Costa. But I am telling you, I never pick the wrong club. It takes me 2 seconds to decide. 140, ooh, there's a little wind. Okay, I'll play the 150. I might hit a real firm 7, or I'll hit a 6. It takes 2 seconds, and I'm not a professional golfer. What could they be doing for 4 and 5 minutes at a time? Nobody's watching. The TV production is horrible. Every producer is terrible. Tommy Roy is terrible. Jack Graham is terrible. Every single one of them, the guys at Fox, that stupid guy at Fox, what a doofus burger. What's his name? And the guy who looks like Bugs Bunny, who's now in charge of the thing. He doesn't know anything about it. He doesn't know anything about anything about anything. They're going to put up so many graphics, so much information, so many statistics, so many colored lines, including a drone from a boat on the ocean where, of course, you can't see anything because the ocean is below the golf course. But they'll figure that out when they turn the camera on. They realize that it only shoots 200 feet lower than where the action is. Everything is a disaster. There's nobody interesting to watch in the men's game really other than Brooks right now, and he's decided to do this odd thing with his personality, so he's an uninteresting interview. People say to me, who would you like to interview? No, nobody. Not one of them. I wouldn't want to talk to any of them. I could make them all interesting because I know how to do that. But, you know, remember, I did interviews with Tiger and Gene Sarazen and Arnold Palmer and Gary Player and Seve Ballesteros and Greg Norman and Nick Faldo. I did 1,300 shows. The only guy we missed was Ben Hogan because he was 2'6". This bunch, you can have them.
You know, Peter Kessler, you don't hold back. When you said, I'm tired of the we, 21 years ago, when I started doing this show, you know, a baby by comparison to your career, I always wondered why they didn't give the caddies a little bit more credit. And now they give the we part just drives me crazy, because who's responsible for not just the club selection? The caddy makes suggestions, maybe, but then it's the guy hitting the shot. Now, we have to wrap up now. You'll have to come back and talk to us. Just in about 30 seconds, do you see any hope in, I mean, what do you like about the professional game? And do you like the women's game that's coming on so strong? They've just, Dow Great Lakes Bay Invitational LPGA Tour team event that's starting off this year at Midland Country Club in July. Jennifer Kupcho and Maria Fassi getting their sponsors' exemptions to play as a team. Is there something you like?
Okay, the 30 seconds is tough to do all of it, but I already trashed the men's game, so let's look at the women's game for a minute. The issues with the women's game are interesting because the best thing that they have going for them is the diversity, the number of players from different countries. The worst thing they have going for them is the diversity, the number of players from different countries. How can it be both? Because, one, you don't have an internationally marketable superstar. You don't have one in the women's game. The women's game is not as interesting because people think the power of the men's game makes that more fascinating. I don't agree with that. If you watch the women, you know, when they played the one round that Augusta National grudgingly let 30 players play on the Saturday,
yes,
had the nerve to call the tournament after their own golf course, it was disgraceful. I thought it was racist. I thought it was just the absolute worst decision, and to hold it against an LPGA major. So a really good amateur had to decide, should I play one round as a total gratuity and bunch of old stupid guys who are members at Augusta National on a Saturday when the tournament is essentially over, or should I play in a major? So Augusta really got that wrong. The women's game needs an internationally marketable superstar, and it doesn't have it, and nobody's going to pay attention until they do. The only way that we can help the LPGA at this point is you get somebody like me to interview every one of the players for an hour. We break it into two-minute pieces, and it goes all over the LPGA website, all over the sponsors' website, and all over social media. Nobody knows who these players are. And the evidence that the USGA has lost control is borne out by the fact that the two young women that you just mentioned, who happened to be in the last group and that out of the 30 players that they wedged in between the regular tee sheet, they played the clubs into the greens that Bobby Jones had in mind. They hit hybrids, though. The winner hit a hybrid into 13. She hit a hybrid into 15. Tiger Woods hit a wedge in 97, and the guys are hitting wedges now. They've lost control of the game. Augusta National is the only course that can lengthen because they actually buy the town itself. So women's golf needs the internationally marketable superstar, and men's golf needs a real big rethink.
Okay, I love it. Talking with you, Peter Kessler, has been a real pleasure. You'll have to be on the show again. And I promise I felt like the USGA was at us because I completely lost my microphone.
Yeah, I couldn't hear anything for 15 minutes, so I was guessing, and I figured I would keep going on until somebody said something. But I had a great time, and I love you, and I love your show, and I'm delighted at your growing popularity and the way that people feel about the things you do. So good for you. I'll come on anytime you want.
Thanks, Peter. Aloha. We're going to come back. Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and owner of Maui School of Golf, just held a women's golf day at the Kahili course. And we want to talk, he's got some, you know, those guys or girls who come over to you and say, you know, I've got the perfect thing that's going to fix you. Well, he's got the perfect thing to say back. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
What's the first thing you see when you get home?
My cat?
No, your garage door. and I love my Rainer door. It improved the look of my house, and it's strong and quiet.
Wow, how can I get a Rainer door?
Call 676-DOOR, and your home can look great and be worth more money. That's 676-3667, Rainer Doors, Hawaii.
Nothing short of amazing.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf is easier with coaching from PGA Master Teaching Professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game. Scratch golfer or just beginner, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Claude is at Maui School of Golf at the Kahili Course on Maui. You'll get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claude@mauischoolofgolf.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurastone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint, it's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurastone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Rainer Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Rainer Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Rainer Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and owner of Maui School of Golf, a Golf Channel Academy at the Kahili Course on Maui. Of course, he is Golf Channel Academy lead coach and author of Realize Your Golfing Potential, Unlock the Secrets of a Proficient Short Game. He's a Vision 54 coach that's all about the mental game, and he is Aimpoint certified. You can find him at MauiSchoolOfGolf.com, MauiSchoolOfGolf.com, and his book would be an excellent present for Father's Day. And of course, you can also have it autographed if you'd like. So just get in touch with Claude Brousseau. Welcome into the clubhouse, Claude.
Aloha, Danielle.
You had a fabulous women's golf day on the 4th of June, just this past Tuesday. I love what you said when you wrote to me, it should be women's golf day every day.
Absolutely. I think, you know, women on the golf course, it's good for them. I mean, women have so much stress in their life. You know, often they're the decision maker in the house. They take care of the kids, and just going out, you know, or they're in the office every day, going out on the golf course, even if it's for three holes and not necessarily play 18 holes, and even if just practicing a bit, they're outside, do it with friends. So I think it should be women's game, women's golf day every day on every golf course.
You had 17 participants, and you spent some time coaching, and then you played the three holes like a scramble. Cassie Isagawa was the guest speaker. What was one of her messages?
Her messages was really that golf empowered her to be who she is, and then also gave her so many options. So the idea when we invited her was also to educate and inform moms that if they have girls, that golf is good for them because it helps you to develop your social skills, especially now with you know, the new generation that spends so much time on their phone. And also, that allowed her to have a scholarship to go to Oregon University. And what is so great about golf, it allowed the people to know themselves, discover who they are. It gives you a core value like honesty, accountability, and most importantly, I think it's having fun. The lady, after we finished playing the 3 hole, they say, "Wow, it's been a while. We didn't have so much fun on the golf course. I didn't know we can take it not so seriously and just have fun with it."
Yeah, you know what?
That's what an essential message.
Yeah, getting together and laughing and having fun outdoors is
correct.
What golf can be. And that's that's the way I like to play, because if I can take the time out of my day to spend some time on the course, I can get lost in time. I don't know how much time is going by. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I think I better get going because my time's up. But I had such a good time. You also pointed out something interesting to the rules of golf don't necessarily apply if you're playing for fun. And that if you're in the middle of the fairway, you can tee it up.
Exactly. You know, when you are playing just for fun, you cannot, of course, have stressed out very hardly with them that you cannot do that when you're in competition. But when you go out to have fun and you're still learning the game, there is nothing wrong to put the ball on the tee in the fairway. Why? Because how in the world could you have fun if you take 20 shots to make the ball move 50 yards forward? Nobody wants to do that, and you will quit the game. And you will lose the opportunity to have a great hobby. So I told them, and we did that. One of the ladies was more of a beginner. I said, that's fine. Just put it on the tee, and guess what? Boom, she striked it well, and then she smiled. I said, oh, I didn't know I can do that. Another thing that they provide feedback on is quite often they do a shot and the ball doesn't go where they had planned to go. And immediately in their mind, they think it's a bad shot. I think part of our job as a PGA coach and LPGA coach is helping people to redefine that situation and call that a learning shot. What can you learn from that? So they kind of like that idea. So you see, you avoid putting any negative thoughts because golf can steer you, I will say, towards negativity because you don't have the result that you wish you have. So yes, put it on the tee. If it takes too much time or too much shot, you know, to move it forward, I'd say grab the ball and play a scramble with yourself, if you by yourself. Drop the ball close to the green, chip it, then if it don't work the way you want, take it in your hands again, put it on the green, learn how to putt, so this way you can experience all aspects of the game, and you will improve, and you will have more fun.
You know, in our society, we're so outcome-oriented. Everything has to be successful. So if I am going to hit this shot, I'm going to do this. It has to be, I have to be successful at having done that. So in golf, you've got to take what you get. So if you get a bad bounce, but has nothing to do with your shot. You just got to, it just bounced off the ground. You're playing on a golf course. It's not perfect. It's not a basketball court. It's not an interior racquetball court. It's nature. So it bounces. So then you get to say, oh, that'll be an interesting place to hit from.
you got it right that you just hit the nail on the head right there. Golf, I often let them know that, okay, golf, missing shot, it's part of playing golf. You see, they don't. Most of the players don't have what I call the reality of golf. Of course, when you watch golf on TV, you have to remind yourself that those people are the best in the world. They spend a lot of time practicing, and they have been doing it for a very, very long time. So here's an example I like to use. and I asked them to the ladies there. I said, do you surf? She said, oh, yeah, I love surfing. I say, do you fall off the board? She kind of looked at me like I'm coming from Mars, you know. She says, of course I fall. And I say, do you get mad and upset? Do you think you're not a good person and you're not a good surfer because you fall off the board? She says, no, that's part of surfing. But I say, you know, missing golf shot is part of playing golf. You just, like you said, oh, that'd be an interesting challenge now. And then you kind of lighten up the atmosphere when you go out and play.
Yes, exactly. Now, for those people who go out with a significant other or, you know, and I don't mean to beat up on the guys. It's Father's Day coming around. And I want to give away golf balls to the first caller. But we have John Peter Hagens on hold. So I'm going to have to let you know when to call in later in just a couple of minutes. But I like what you did, because a lot of times they want to fix you. They want to help you. And it's so aggravating. You want to let them help, but then it messes you up. So what are your suggestions for people when someone just insists on trying to fix you while you're trying to have fun and play a game?
Yes. So here's my suggestion. I say quite often when people do that, they do that with good intention. And I told to the 17 ladies, you kind of need to rehearse that ready answer when somebody want to give you advice. So here's the answer that I suggest for them to have right away so you don't get caught off guard. So let's say I would say, thank you very much, Peter. I know you want to help with your advices. However, I have a coach and we have a game plan. I would appreciate if you just let me play my way. So if so this way, the men, or because it's more men that offer advices to ladies. I play with ladies, and I rarely see a woman offering another advice to a man or even another lady. So
she better good, this way, really good. Yes.
So this way, it takes the pressure off. You have a ready answer, and then the gentleman will understand that. You will appreciate that if you just let you play your own way. And another thing that I like to see, so yeah, that sentence, so do it your own way, find your own word, but say thank you, I appreciate you want to help me. However, I have a coach, we have a game plan. Let me play my way, please.
That's fabulous. That's fabulous. So this is really exciting because Golf Channel is now at Kapolei. And Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, is at, of course, Kapolei with Oliver Olicriano, who is going to be the staff coach, who's always there. Claude comes over from Maui, and they're going to have a soft opening soon. I think it's sometime in July, a soft opening.
Correct.
And we'll have to get together again. But for Father's Day, I really recommend Father's Day gift would be Claude's book, Realize Your Golfing Potential, Unlock the Secrets of a Proficient Short Game. You'll see that the pictures inside, the descriptions that he gives, the illustrations that he provides on so many different facets of the game, the short game, the most important part of the game. I mean, you'll spend a lot of time using your driver because it's so much fun. But once you get close to the hole, how do you chip? How do you pitch? How do you get it into from that just onto the green, close enough, maybe even into the hole, but close enough so the putt isn't so stressful and it's close. Those are the kinds of things that you're going to learn in his book. And that's a great Father's Day gift. And if you'd like it to be autographed, you can request it from Claude@MauiSchoolOfGolf.com. You just go to MauiSchoolOfGolf.com. There's a preview inside on the website so that you can see what the book looks like. This is excellent. And Claude, I am so sorry for your loss. And I so appreciate that you still spent time with me this morning on the air. You are the consummate professional, a most wonderful person. And I wish you safe travels. Travel safe on your journey home to France.
Thank you very much, Danielle. It's always a pleasure, a privilege to be on your show and share my passion and my love of this great game, and that more people can get in, and it's a game for lifetime. So you're doing a wonderful job promoting it, and I'm always a pleasure to be a guest on your show.
Thank you. This is Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, owner of Maui School of Golf, Golf Channel Academy at the Kahili Course on Maui. We'll be back after this. We're going to go to Pebble Beach. That's where John Peter Hagen is hanging out. He hangs out there. He's an insider. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Remember when your car rolled off the showroom floor? Get that smooth as glass look and more at Detail Boulevard with a ceramic coating. Bring back or keep the shine. It keeps dirt from sticking and protects your car from the sun. 1351 South Baratania, just past KAMOKU on the Mackay side. We also do expert detailing and custom tinting. Detail Boulevard helps keep your ride smiling. You can even make an appointment online at detailblvd.com. Detail Boulevard, exceptional service.
Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the Golf Club.
Okay, it's that time of the day, of the morning. Today, by the way, between 10 and 12 at Mililani, they're going to have their fabulous get-together. It's a family golf day at Mililani. It's open to the public. It's free to attend. They've got the latest equipment from Callaway, Ping, TaylorMade, Titleist. Huge demo day. But in addition to that, there's a clearance sale. Oakley, FootJoy, many, many more. Plus, there's Ono Street Grinds from the local food trucks, and there are free giveaways every hour, and there are silent auction prizes because there's a charity recipient involved in this year, and they do this every year. Plus, those live entertainment activities for the whole family, putting challenges. There's a bake sale by Mililani Junior Golf. There's golf clinics by the Mililani Golf Academy. Bounce houses, the Ohana Bounce is going to be there. So now that you're in the mood to go, why don't you get yourself Bridgestone E12 soft golf balls? Are all about more distance. And for us in the world of recreational golf, distance is key. It's a three-piece Sirlin cover ball featuring Bridgestone's gradational compression core. Bottom line, that it is soft in the middle for feel and gets progressively firmer for more distance. It's a completely new ball from Bridgestone, and it's yours. Just give us a call. Ninth caller in, 545-1111. 545-1111. And Neighbor Islands, of course, just add the 808. All right. John Peter Hagen, play away, please. The tale of the sale of golf's greatest icon, the St. Andrews Old Course Starters Box. That's from John Peter. He's also working on a trilogy now, starting with Pebble Beach and Other Chance Encounters, slated for the release later this year or early next. But of course, right now we're gearing up and 500,000 people will go to Pebble Beach to experience the U.S. Open, which starts, of course, basically on Monday. Welcome into the clubhouse, Peter.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
There was a bit of a typo. It feels like 500,000 people are wandering around, but it's really the expected attendance for the week is 200,000, which is still an enormous impact on this fragile little environment we have in the middle of the Monterey Peninsula. You go ahead and laugh, but if you're here, you'll understand that the tournament's 1 week and the disruption to normal living, the life in the Pebble Beach, Carmel area because of this tournament has been going on for 5 months.
I just think about the one road in and the one road out.
That's right. And beginning Monday morning at 5 o'clock, the only cars that are being allowed in are those four owned by local residents or their house guests, and everybody else has to come in vans, buses, horse and buggy, walk, whatever. I cannot tell you, I don't know how many thousand cars have been transported in just to use on moving people around. Even the media is, they're staying, the media hotel is about 10 miles from the course, and that is probably going to be an hour and a half commute either way on public transportation just to get here. It reminds me of Royal St. George's in England 7-8 years ago. It's insanity. Peter Kessler is right about so many things. I could have told him about a couple of others.
Maybe I should have both of you on. I'll just sit down and listen.
Yeah, why don't you have a little form and Peter and I will just go open mic for 2 hours?
It might be dangerous. I'd have to have the good old 7-second delay going on in case everything. Some people get very heated, you know, in these exchanges. So Tiger Woods played Pebble a couple of weeks ago. I believe you were there.
Right. I was, yeah. I crossed paths with him and walked the fourth hole with him. It was very interesting to see how he talked about the course. And again, we were really playing more catch up and certainly not commenting on his golf game. But to walk a hole or a hole and a half with him, in contrast to me walking and spending an entire day with Jack Nicklaus when the U.S. Amateur was here last fall, was a real interesting observation psychologically and philosophically on how they discuss golf and how it should be played and how it should not be played and what's wrong with course setups and all the rest of it.
Yeah, well, I think that to not have the superintendent of golf who knows the golf course like the back of his hand, why he's not involved, it doesn't make any sense to me either. We go down to Pebble Beach. Just let me give people some background here. The PGA Tour goes to Pebble Beach for the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am every year. There's also the event that the PGA champions play there. This year, of course, the U.S. Open is being played at Pebble Beach. And this year, Phil Mickelson, who won the Pro-Am in February, if he wins the U.S. Open this time, it will complete his career Grand Slam. He's been six times second, Phil Mickelson has been the bridesmaid, never the bride. So he certainly is hoping it would be great. But what's different about, let's talk about the course conditions between February and June.
Okay, first of all, guess who's on the golf course right now? I saw him about 20 minutes ago, and that's Phil Mickelson. He is really here working hard. He understands the golf course that he won the AT&T on in February is a totally different golf course than what we see today. the fairways are much more narrow. The greens are more firm. The rough is obscene in some spots. A couple of days ago, was walking 17, 4, 5, 6, 7 early in the morning. And sometimes, as you know, even in Hawaii, you get a little, you'll get into rough that'll go over your shoe tops. But I was in rough that was halfway up my ankles.
Whoa.
And, yeah, it is really gnarly. It's sticky. It'll be wet in the morning. Today's a gorgeous day, and it's supposed to stay this way through the week. Send some of your trade winds, by the way. We could use them.
Oh, I've heard that there's a heat index that's going to be incredible. The West Coast is bracing for a heat wave with dry, gusty winds coming next week.
Yeah, it is today, actually, in the San Francisco Greater Bay Area inland. Temperatures are over 100, will be over 100, as they were on Wednesday and Thursday also. So even here in Pebble, it'll probably, if the predictions hold, it could get to the high 70s, which is borderline hell here in terms of the kinds of grasses we have, and the hardness of the greens is... Peter said that sometimes you hear a ball hit a green, it reminds you of somebody hitting a bass drum with a mallet.
Wow. Well, now, can you tell from what you've seen so far what the setup is going to be like?
The setup is for shot makers. They've narrowed the fairway so much that unless you're hitting a driver dead straight, unless you're Adam Scott or Justin Rose or somebody and not a Phil, you probably don't have a chance because it's all shot making. And if you are in any of the rough, it's going to be a hack out into the fairway and then hope.
Yeah, a lot of hoping. We are KPUA Hilo, KORLYNI, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo. So you see them going back to, you know, I was talking, as you know, earlier with Peter Kessler about the setup, and Olympic Club was the last time that I thought the USGA actually did something that we expected from the USGA in the past, where precision, accuracy was demanded of you. So you see that coming back?
I do. I do see that coming back. But I would put a subparagraph to Peter about using the local course superintendent. You know, the USGA, part of it's a reward, but they bring in superintendents from great courses all across America to assist this week. And that's absolute foolish nonsense. I don't want to be start repeating Peter's fine words, but let the people that work here every day run the golf course. They know it. Some guy coming from Baltusrol or Wingfoot, he may be the best of the best in that area of the country, but it ain't the Monterey Peninsula of California.
Yeah, yeah. Tell us the difference. Okay, back in 2000, Tiger Woods won the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach and went on to win the career Grand Slam. It was a shame that he didn't start winning earlier in the year because he would have had the Grand Slam, but he did it. So the difference between Pebble in 2000 and Pebble today?
It's tightened. The rough is longer. Some greens have been redone, particularly 9, 13, 14, and 17, and the redo on 14 has added reasonable hole locations that are not penal, which has always been a history. But they've still done a couple of things that are just tricks. They've crammed a new tee box next to the ninth green. It's between the ninth green and Carmel Bay, the ocean. And depending upon the wind, it's going to make the ninth hole drivable, which is the 10th hole drivable, which is insane. And it's not the way the golf course or the golf hole was designed, being downhill as it is. It's the same way with four. So you might have two drivable holes on the golf course this week.
So, here we go with the distance and the drivers and all that stuff.
And here we go. And back in 2000, Tiger lapped the field. But you remember that he was 12 under par, but the next man to him was 3 over par. It was a 15-shot swing. So you take him away. And then they're changing the golf course because of what one person did to it. It's insanity.
Yeah.
Plus the guy, plus Tiger Woods is not the Tiger Woods health-wise and in many other ways than he was 10 years ago.
Tiger, does he have a chance? I mean, you sent something to me, and I didn't realize it, that he could be if he had played enough to qualify for stats, which he hasn't, he would be leading in greens hit in regulation?
That's correct, yeah. And that's that tells you a lot. And it is a bit of an add-on to the words he uttered on the fourth hole to me on 2 weeks ago. He said, I can hit a driver over the green. I can hit a 1-iron, 2-iron, and maybe hit the green, or I can hit a 6-iron and a wedge. And the 6-iron and the wedge might be what's in play, just because of what you just said.
Interesting. Yes. I mean, it's going to – who's your favorite? Koepka?
Koepka, Adam Scott. Somebody like that, Martin Kamar. I think those three. If I were a betting man, I'd put it on those three.
Interesting. So not Tiger.
Not Tiger. There's only 3 people on the golf course today, by the way, that I saw. I'm sure that'll change this afternoon. But the only people here right now are Justin Rose, Phil Mickelson, and Jason Day.
Well, I'm glad Jason's there.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
I mean, talk about a guy who went from, first to, what, where, how, come, other than Jordan. That's another story. But, John Peter Hagan, Play Away Please, the tale of the sale of golf's greatest icon, the St. Andrews Old Course Starters Box. He's working on a trilogy. I'm really looking forward to this. This is Pebble Beach and Other Chance Encounters, slated for release later this year or early next. So we'll talk again soon. Always a pleasure.
Well,
you're wonderful.
The other thing, don't forget about the impact of women's golf here. And you've got the U.S. Women's Open here in 4 years.
And it's about time.
I mean, right.
It is because, you're wonderful, the notes you give me.
The last women's tournament held on the golf course of any substance was won by Babe Zaharias. Remember that name?
Yeah, Babe Zaharias. Yeah. Yes. Was that the 1948 USJ? No, that couldn't. That was for amateurs. Yeah. What was it?
Yeah, this was 1950. It was a multi-week 144-hole golf tournament. She won it.
Wow. See? Thank you, John Peter Hagan. A pleasure.
Talk to you soon.
Aloha.
Bye.
We're going to come back. We've got Steve DiMeglio. We're going to take a tour of the tours. Boy, this heat wave on the West Coast, that's certainly going to change things up at Pebble. I hope it's going to be interesting. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We put power at your fingertips. tips, Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
What do the Symphony Tower, One Ala Moana, Waiea Building, JN's Lamborghini Showroom, and Park Place at Ala Moana all have in common? They used Rainer Hawaii overhead doors for their door and gate needs. Rainer, Hawaii's premier overhead door company. Provide lasting security and safety for your business by working with Rainer Hawaii overhead doors and gates. Great service, fair prices. Whether you need 80 doors or only a small repair, call Rainer Hawaii, 676-DOOR. That's 676-3667, Rainer Hawaii.
Remember when your car rolled off the showroom floor? Get that smooth as glass look and more at Detail Boulevard with a ceramic coating. Bring back or keep the shine. It keeps dirt from sticking and protects your car from the sun. 1351 South Baratania, just past KAMOKU on the Makai side. We also do expert detailing and custom tinting. Detail Boulevard helps keep your ride smiling. You can even make an appointment online at detailblvd.com. Detail Boulevard, exceptional service.
This portion of the Golf Club is brought to you by Creative Plumbing. When your building's hot water system needs new life or a new high-rise system, new build or renovation, call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Futuristone's master craftsmen can turn your townhouse complex driveway and sideway into beautiful self-draining areas, adding to the value of your project. Turn your concrete floors into colorful masterpieces with Futuristone. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
It's been an interesting show. You know, we were kind of talking stink, as we say in Hawaii, about the USGA and course setup. And I completely lost my microphone. So fortunately, Nani was able to swing hers over to me. And we're still moving along here. It's been an interesting morning. And congratulations, Bill of Kailua. You are the winner of those Bridgestone E12 softballs, going for the distance and control. Steve DiMeglio, senior writer, Golf Week, USA Today. Welcome into the clubhouse.
How you doing, Danielle?
Excellent. I'm watching the RBC Canadian Open. I'm watching Keegan Bradley shoot 63. What changes did, you know, Keegan gets really hot and then he drops. And then he gets hot and then he drops. Did he make some changes you think that'll keep him going in this direction?
Well, they've been working so far. I mean, he went back to his old putter that he won the BMW Championship. And he started working with Dr. Mo Pickens from Sea Island, Georgia. Mo works with Zach Johnson, sports psychologist. Keegan just needed something to break things up, to, you know, change things around. He hasn't really moved on for the better after he won the BMW Championship back in the fall. That was during the FedEx Cup playoffs, and that was his first win in 6 years. So he's just trying to shake things up. And, you know, it worked yesterday. I mean, 2 days ago in the first round. He's still one of the best ball strikers, but as he says, it's all about the putting for him, and he's got to putt well to contend. So, but he does like working with Mo. He likes the old putter back in his bag. Still has the same caddy, and he still has that same fire inside him. So he's Keegan.
He's Keegan. You know, well, that's interesting that you should bring up Mo Pickens. I did not know he was working with Keegan, because Mo Pickens, the story that you wrote about Zach Johnson, is key to Zach's game as well, isn't it? Or isn't he?
Yeah, that was the one thing Zach thought he was missing back in 2006. He had won one PGA Tour title, and he just thought he needed one little more thing. But and as Zach has said it, that one little thing is huge for him. And it's basically get him in the same routine, get him to thinking, clear his mind of extra litter that he doesn't need to be thinking about while he's setting up to hit a golf shot. And since then, Zach's won 11 times in two majors. So obviously he's still working with Mo. It's just these guys, if they think a new grip helps them, if they think a psychologist helps them, if they think the golf ball is going to be the big difference, they'll try everything if things aren't going well. So, and as Mo said, Dr. Mo's job isn't to talk to them when things are going good. It's to talk to them when things are going bad or not as well. Mm-hmm. And that's when he has to step in and try to change their way of thinking.
Yeah. And, you know, probably just keep in touch while they're on top of the world. I mean, it's easy to be on top of the world, you know, and to continue to think the way that Mo Pickens is saying, hey, you know, remember our keys. I don't know what they are because I don't know that Mo Pickens has given it up.
Yeah.
Are you hearing any conversation about the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach? Are these guys looking forward to it?
Oh, everybody looks forward to going to Pebble Beach.
Okay.
I mean, everybody on their mind is, okay, is the USGA going to mess this one up? That's in their back of their minds as well. Obviously, Patrick Cantlay, who just won Memorial, put a film clip out there to show how deep the rough is, 13 paces from the pin. I think he was on the 9th or 10th hole. Well, that's the way it should be. That's what they know they're going to get. They're getting it thick rough. They're going to get rock-hard greens. They're going to get hard fairways, and they're going to get thin fairways. Everybody knows that.
You know,
and the thing is,
Steve, everybody knows that is for people who remember the way the USGA used to set up before Chambers Bay. You know, then and then things changed. Then we had Erin Hills. It's like there's the fairways, the prairie.
Yeah. Well, they had Shinnecock really good for the first 2 days, and then they forgot what they were doing on Saturday, unfortunately, and that basically ruined everything. Pebble is pebble, and I think you really, really have to go out of your way to have bad pin placements. Like, that's what killed him at Shinnecock in the third round. But you have to really go out of your way to find bad pin placements at Pebble Beach because the greens are so small. I don't expect pin placements to be the major problem, a major complaint of the players. The forecast, if it holds, and it certainly looks like it's going to hold, high 60s, low 70s, slight winds to strong winds each day, nothing but sun for all 4 days. So I don't think the course can get too baked out. And if it does, hopefully, after they learn their lesson at Shinnecock, they'll put some water on the greens when appropriate. So we'll just have to see.
We'll have to see. This is Steve DiMeglio, senior writer of Golf Week and USA Today. I went to USA Today, and they said there's a heat wave coming to the West Coast with dry, gusty winds and fire danger. Does that impact along the ocean? We feel that along the ocean?
No. It's interesting. I'm going to fly tomorrow, so I'm supposed to land in San Jose, and San Jose's high is going to be 94 tomorrow. Mm. Pebble Beach's high tomorrow is 73.
Wow. Okay.
So according to every forecast I'm seeing, the heat wave will not get to Pebble. I didn't see anything above 75 degrees all week long for the next week.
Well, that's lovely. That's a good temperature.
Yeah, perfect temperature.
Yeah. I was watching, of course, the European Tour. Thailand beat Britain. Oh, my goodness. Wasn't global game we've got, you know. Golf sixes. Do you think we would have something like that on the PGA Tour?
I think we're a little far away from that. Unless one of the sponsors really wants to go outside of the box, I don't see it happening. The strength of the tour is pretty solid. Financially, it's really solid. Playing opportunities, it's way up there. I don't think they have to think out of the box as much as the European Tour does. The European Tour struggles a lot more than the PGA Tour does, a lot more. So I don't see something like that coming. I would say the one outside the box is a return to a male and female competition with the best female players playing with the best male players. I think that would be the next move, something like that. But no, I don't think we're going to see anything like that on the PGA Tour anytime soon.
Yeah, you know, and when you broadcast something like Golf Sixes with the music, that's, you know, all that stuff, you really need to pipe that music into the broadcast, because otherwise it just sounds like strange background noise and it doesn't really give you the sense of being there. However, when you talk about, let's switching gears, you talk about the health of the PGA Tour not needing anything like Golf Sixes, which was fun. Tim, you retweeted something. You can follow Steve DiMeglio on Twitter, Steve_DiMeglio. Why was Tim Fincham paid $10 million in bonus money after he retired?
They haven't commented on that. I would imagine it was part of the deal that he worked out when he was commissioner. Mm-hmm. It's a hefty chunk, and I know quite a few of the players didn't know anything about it. But again, I don't think any commissioner, I mean, just look at all the TV contracts he signed when we were having financial problems in the late, 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010. And there's an awful lot of players that will tell you, a lot of veteran players that have been around for 20, 30 years, that he deserved every penny. But it was sort of a little surprise, especially after the compensation he received the year before that as well. But again, I'm not exactly sure, but I think everybody has to sign off on it, including the players. So, they signed off on the humongous clubhouse that they built. They're signing off on the new PGA Tour headquarters that is being built. There have been an awful lot of other improvements made on the PGA Tour. So, as a lot of veteran players have told me, he earned every penny of it, and it was an awful lot of pennies. So.
Yes, but I don't know the history. I was thought he retired, he's here, and he gave $10 million. Yes, the PGA Tour is healthy. They have lots of money. They're doing just fine. Who are you taking? I was reading this story on one of the different, I don't know, it was on Twitter someplace, about the caddies who were kind of the caddies from Pebble Beach, how they would play. I had everybody from Tiger Woods to Jim Furyk to Rory McIlroy to Brooks Koepka, Francesco Molinari, these U.S. Open predictions from these caddies at Pebble Beach. Who are you looking at?
Well, one name you didn't name, the guy that's got the best record at Pebble Beach. Now, granted, it's in January as opposed to June, but Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson, let me get this straight. I just wrote it down yesterday. Dustin Johnson has two wins, 2 seconds, a third, a fourth, a fifth, a seventh, and 12 starts in the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. And he also was the 54-hole leader in the 2010 U.S. Open at Pebble Beach before he tripled the second and doubled the third, and he tied for eighth. There's an awful lot of guys you can pick, but that's my pick. He hits it as straight as anybody off the tee, whether it's with his drivers, three wooders, long iron, and everybody knows how improved he has been in the last 5-6 years from 100 to 150 yards with the iron play, which is you're going to have to be at Pebble. And he loves the place. So that's my pick. And my dark horse, I'll go back to the guy who just finished second at Memorial, Adam Scott. He talked to all these guys. They said the one thing you need there is you have to be a great ball striker. And obviously, Tiger's a great ball striker. Adam Scott is a great ball striker. And Adam Scott's in a good place right now. I don't think the greens, being as small as they are, will give him as much of a fit as they have in the past. So, my pick is Dustin Johnson. And a longer horse, a 28-30-1 range is Adam Scott.
Adam Scott. Okay. How about Phil Mickelson? What are his chances?
Well, the guy's won there five. He's won there five times. He tied for fourth, I think it was, in the 2010 U.S. Open when it was at Pebble. And he tied for 16th when Tiger ran away with it in 2000. He turns 49 on Sunday, that Sunday. He's absolutely one of the best to this day around the greens, and you're going to have to be good around the greens there. And if he, you know, he was using two drivers at the Memorial, one to hit his bombs and the other to hit little spinny drivers to keep in the fairway.
Thank you for clarifying that.
He's got a chance. I mean, the guy's won there five times.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not gonna say a guy who's won there five times can't win. And he's finished runner-up six times in a U.S. Open. I mean, and I think in the back of his mind, he knows this and next year at Wingfoot are basically his two best last chances to complete that Grand Slam. So I think there'll be a little more sense of urgency for him. And I would not at all be surprised if he contends. Not at all.
Not at all. Yeah. The urgency, the determination, the I'm going to go in there and take this is what I can see Phil Mickelson having in the bag. And it's, you know, all in the execution and just hoping that you've got your game that day. And that's golf. And it would be great. What a birthday present, you know, for himself.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Awesome.
Yeah.
I've got about 30 seconds, and I need to ask you a question because I'm not all that hip on terminology. Brooks Koepka complained that he was feeling a little blocky.
Well, he was hitting blocks. We can talk about when you're back.
we'll have to close because the show's closing now, and I have to thank the people who make the show possible. You'll have to come back and explain about hitting.
Well,
yes.
I can do it real quick. I'll do it real quick.
Okay.
After Saturday's third round, the PGA Championship.
Yes.
He had a five or six. He had a seven shot lead, I think. He felt he was hitting too many blocks, shots to the right. He was blocking the ball to the right. And he immediately, after he talked to the media, immediately went to the range for another 45 minutes to hit balls with Claude Harmon, his coach.
Thank you.
That's after he took the 54-shot lead.
Thank you. And you know why I say that is because a lot of people tuning into the game of golf have no idea what that means. And they're watching Golf Channel.
Yeah,
and you just took care of that. Thank you so much.
You got it.
All right.
Thanks,
that's
Danielle.
Yes, Steve DiMeglio, senior writer. Golf Week and USA Today. Thank you to the people who make this show possible. I took my car to Detail Boulevard. I got a loaner car and I went to work and then I came back from work and my car was ready and it was beautiful. They do such good work. Detail Boulevard, Honolulu's car finish experts, protecting your ride. Yes. You can use lots of different coatings, and they can go through every one of them with you. Detail Boulevard, they're on Baratania, on the left side, Makai side, as you're driving down right after Keiamoku, two doors from Keiamoku. They have those loaner cars. You can get your car taken and right in there, get it buffed out, and get on your way. Futurastone's master craftsman, turning your project, whether it's something that you started and you can't finish, they'll take care of you, your warehouse, your showroom, a home project, turning it into artwork. They specialize in Brazilian quartzite flagstone, Roman stack walls, interlocking concrete pavers, only the best, Futurastone. Rainer Doors provide lasting security and safety for your home, your business. Rainer Doors, call Rainer Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. And their number is 676-3667. Increase the value of your home with a Rainer door. Oahu Extraction, when it floods, worse, sewer pipes break, mud inundates, call Oahu Extraction. They'll be on site in 90 minutes. 330-6212, 24/7. 330-6212. Aloha Power Equipment, Hawaii's largest power equipment showroom. Two locations, Honolulu and Waipahu. Aloha Power Equipment. They put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. Creative Plumbing. You know, when those water pipes break, you got to get somebody in, right? Doesn't matter how large, how small those pipes are, whether you've got a new build you want to do, a renovation you need to do, you need to put in the new plumbing stack for your high rise, you need grease traps, it's Creative Plumbing. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club. And if you'd like to hear this show again, you can always go to Radio radiogolfclub.com, radiogolfclub.com. You go to the listen link and you can find all of the shows as a podcast. So you can listen, you can go back and check out. Oh, you can listen all the time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2019.